much. Yes.
On. You don't need to.
Stand by. Okay.
This is the joint meeting of the ICANN board and the ASO-NRO on March 8th, 2016, from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. in the Atlas Room.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning.
I'll see you off. That is it.
This begins for the board constituency day, in which we get to meet with several different groups. We don't get to meet with quite everybody, and we're privileged to start off with you all. Who are you? Oh, yeah, the ASO. Our general style for these is, I guess I have two standing comments. One is that we're here to primarily to listen. In this case, I think we have a few things where we want to ask some questions, but primarily we're interested in hearing your thoughts. And the second is that we try to make these meaningful and substantive, so not just pro forma statements about how wonderful all of us are and what great work we all do. Let's find out where the action is, what the issues are, bring them up, and have some frank and candid discussion, so that we use our time in a meaningful way. So with that, it's really your meeting. So Oscar, take it away.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for your attendance to this session. I think that it would be good to present ourselves first, so everybody knows who's on this table. Is that okay with you? Yeah. So why don't we start? Paul, do you want to present yourself?
Paul Wilson, I'm the head of APNIC, the IP Address Registry for the Asia Pacific. I'm in that role. I'm therefore a member of the NRO Executive Council. I've been involved with the transition process for a long time, since before it started, 20 years ago. But more recently, I've been one of the NRO delegates to the ICG, helping to produce that first major report, the ICG INA transition stewardship transition proposal. Thanks. That's me.
Good morning. My name is Remco Vermoek. I'm an executive board member for the RIPE NCC.
Good morning. Axel Pavlik, managing director of the RIPE NCC and member of the NRO Executive Council.
Shireen Chalabi, member of the board. Thank you.
Rhonda Silva, also member of the board.
Nurani Nimpuno, vice chair of the CRISP team, responsible for the number communities proposal and the IANA transition. And I'm also a member of the ASO-AC.
John Curran, president and CEO of ARIN, the American Registry for Internet Numbers, member of the NRO-EC Executive Council.
Oscar Robles, CEO of LACNIC and the NRO-EC chairman for 2016.
Steve Crocker, Chair of the ICANN Board of Directors. Let me also mention that Kuo Wei was unable to come to this meeting, sends his regrets, but he's very active and on your behalf as well as on behalf of entire ICANN. Are we going to do everybody, or what's your plan? But in any case, I'll just mention we have a number of other board members here. I can actually see most of them in the front row. Yeah, thanks.
Issey Miyoko-Chani, Chair of the CRISP team, working together with Narani on the number of community proposals.
And I'm Alan Barrett, CEO of AfriNIC, the RIR serving Africa. I'm also a member of the ICG, and previous to that, I was a member of the CRISP team, but I'm no longer on the CRISP team.
Well, I don't want to use up our time again on formalities, but just what do I see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five board members there. Am I missing anybody? Oh, Ashabet sitting in the second row. Oh, we got a whole second row there. Yeah. So we got about 10 board members, give or take, sitting here. That's for this hour of this morning, this is a good representation. Yeah. Plus three more here.
Good.
Yeah. So we've come to rumble here.
Excellent. Thank you.
And there's Rom.
Thank you. Well, we have an agenda, but when we were drafting this agenda, we had in mind a different setting for this meeting. We were thinking in a little room rather than the huge and the main room. So basically, we have three topics, four topics. One, of course, is the most relevant for us. It has to do with the IANA transition and specifically with the numbers proposal implementation and all the things related with the SLA approval, the SLA process, and all these things. Then the second issue would be has to do with Joran, your new CEO, and his training period, how we could improve that training period to benefit the mutual understanding, not only, to improve the times of understanding of our communities. And the third topic has to do with your concerns. You send us some question. One question related with the appointment process to the board from the ASO. So we may have some time to address those issues. And finally, we have the ASO update on policies. So let's see if we are able to cover those topics. So starting with the first topic, which has to do with the transition, as I was saying, our main interest is to make clear our thoughts on the SLA. Yesterday we mentioned that the SLA has to be seen as a preparation for the transition, and it has to be taken seriously as a prerequisite before continuing. And we wanted to let you know what we think on this. So I will ask my colleagues to if they want to be more specific on this process. So I don't know if one of the NROEC members want to be to talk a little bit on this. John?
I guess we'd like to understand what the ICANN board's view of the transition timeline is in terms of implementation, meaning once there's some steps that need to happen before the board sends it to NTIA, there's some steps that have to happen concurrently with that. There's some steps that have to happen after that. And we all know we need to get this done. But I guess depending on who we ask, we get different ideas of how these steps line up.
Well, why don't we find out what answer you want, and then we'll tell you who's going to answer it. We'll give you that. Each person has it. No, teasing you.
If our team working on the SLA could bring up a copy, we'll get you a pen, Steve, and that's the what we want.
So you're asking, there's a whole bunch of small details that all fit together in a sort of complicated way. The easy part is when we get the proposal, we're poised to be able to forward it rapidly, very rapidly, to NTIA. It's the steps after that that get to be more interesting. And the basic picture is two things happen in parallel. The government with NTIA is the front of that process, but a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes will be looking at that proposal and considering it and coming back with an answer saying, yes, if you do all those things, it's good. But in parallel, they also want to see us actually implement the key pieces of that, which are the bylaws and some other implementation pieces. We had a meeting last night, and Shireen, you were in the center of it. Chris, you were in the center of it. Why don't you say more about the fine-grained details? It's actually on a very, very fast-paced schedule to make the key pieces. I will say, with respect to the SLA in particular, there is a complicated dance of getting all the details worked out, but the requirements are that we can't sign it and put it in force prior to the cessation of the contract, but we can commit to that fact happening. There is a tiny bit of trust involved, but most of it can be laid out in a way that's very explicit and just will happen in a particular order.
Thank you.
I can help out if you need to on this one.
Yeah. And Bruce. Hi. Good morning.
Before John, let me say something about this. That's is exactly part of our concerns, that in order to have all these steps completed, there's a lot of things that we have to do, and something that maybe it's out of our control. For example, NTIA willingness to do something is out of our control. But there's something that is actually inside our area of control. And yesterday, the staff said, the ICANN staff mentioned the rough timelines on this, and they used the term of a public comment period after the SLA approval. Well, that's something that you may control. And in that regard, I would like to hear something from the CRISP team that produce all these principles and the basis for the SLA, that we've done this in a public way, in a transparent way, in an open process with several period comment process included, and our expectations is that we don't require any other public comment period. So John, and then Izumi.
Steve, I guess you indicated that implementation needs to happen in parallel for the bylaws and some other key elements, and I guess we haven't seen a list of those key elements. We'd like to see what that is. Obviously, for our community, the service level agreement for IANA numbering services is a key element, and we'd expect it to be on that list, and I guess it's not clear that what is on that list or what isn't. And that's probably something we need to discuss, because there's not a lot of documentation about what's actually planned here.
Yeah, I actually empathize quite a bit with you, and I should be in a position to see as much documentation as there is. Nonetheless, I see. I've got competing offers here.
Steve, I've got an order of all the board members who want to talk, sir. Why don't we go Mike, Bruce, and then I'll add a comment, and Erica, and then myself. Okay?
Go ahead.
Mike. All right, Bruce, then go ahead. Everybody shout.
Thank you, Shireen. It's a very good question that you're asking. I think this week we're sort of just in that transition between trying to get the proposals ready to send to the NTIA and have each group sign off and then start to build our effectively work plan that takes us through to the end of the year. So, and as Steve mentioned, we had some discussions last night to try and map that out pretty much on a whiteboard or a flip chart in this case. So one of the tasks is the staff to actually write up the contents of that flip chart that we can share with you. But I'll give you just a bit of a high-level view and might help you a little bit. So one thing is that we're hoping by the end of this week, that which will be, say, March 10th, we'll have a proposal that connects the ICG report, the CCWG report, and a board resolution that supports those that we can send to the NTIA. So that kicks off a process. Then we're going to spend roughly 4 weeks to write up the bylaws that incorporate all that material. So that will probably take us to mid-April. Then those bylaws will then be published for public comment. So it's the bylaws that are being published for public comment. In parallel, and then by early June or late May, the board is expecting to sign off on those bylaws, basically approve the bylaws. In parallel, the NTIA is actually doing a review of all this information that we've provided, and they'll also do a review of the bylaws to see that the bylaws are consistent with what we've said in those proposals. So by roughly mid-June, the NTIA will have a report that says we're okay with the proposal and we're okay with the bylaws. At that point, we could then start signing agreements, so say late June, and we have between June and August essentially to complete all the implementation details necessary before the US government would then decide not to renew the contract, which is currently expires in September. So they need to make a decision by August as to whether that contract should be extended or renewed. So we have to have all the implementation done by August, preferably earlier. So in terms of signing the agreement, my expectation would be that we could sign that agreement once we've received the report from the NTIA in sort of mid-June, and we'd be able to sign the agreement. I'm not seeing, given that you've gone through an extensive public comment period on your agreement itself, my sense is we wouldn't need to be putting the agreement for public comment, but we are putting the bylaws out for public comment. So does that help? I mean, we'll try and map this out on one page for you, but that this is all just basically worked out last night just to sort of try and get a bit of a plan.
Bruce, I think the question to get right to it is, are the SLA, is the SLA going to be put out for public comment? If so, why, since they've gone through their own process with plenty of public comment? And where is the, what is the sequence by which that gets adopted, committed to, and so forth? Where does that fit in? What do we know about that at this point?
Yeah, so I would imagine that my understanding is that that agreement is still, there's some discussions going on this week. And so once that agreement is agreed effectively between the parties, I would imagine we just post it for information. But I'm not assuming your community presumably is agreeing all the terms in that agreement. But we wouldn't be signing the agreement until the end of June because the NTIA has asked us not to sort of create a presumption. We still have to let them run their process and then to be able to say, yes, we are comfortable with this transition.
Sorry, just to clarify, the reason they're asking about the public comments is because our plan is to actually finalize the SLA and post it for public comment. If the board feels like it's not necessary for the community to see the final SLA it's a decision we can make not to post it for public comment, but the plan is to post it for the public comment, and we felt like we have the time to go through the public comment before we can sign.
I think we'd be publishing it anyway, Akram.
Yes, absolutely.
And the question is whether we're running a formal public comment period on it or whether it's just a posted document.
Yep.
But, you know, that's, I guess, for discussion with this community is whether you think that's required.
Yep.
Thank you. Izumi?
Thank you, Izumi. Okutani speaking with the CRISP team hat. So this clarification about the timelines, this was quite new to me, and it was helpful that Bruce has clearly explained this in conjunction with the CCWG process. I would like to request that perhaps RARs and ICANN work on the timelines that would be agreeable to both, because there has been a request on a global list to have clarity on the overall timelines on how, at what timing we can fix the final version of the SLA, when we can sign it, when it actually takes into effect. And just to share what has been my understanding and the expectations is that we actually agree with the minority statement that the ASO has made about the timing of the SLA. So the CRISP team was actually expecting that the SLA will be fixed at the same timing as the bylaw changes to be implemented for the CCWG accountability, because this is our equivalent of accountability mechanism. And so that was the expectation that we had. So I do trust that RIRs and ICANN will continue discussing this on what would be agreeable to both. And one observation about the public comment is that we have actually done our equivalent of the public comments, that we've been doing this on the global mailing list. The CRISP team have been, from each version of the proposal, sharing our observation that it's consistent with the number community proposal. In other words, it's also consistent with the ICG proposal. I'm not sure if there's a need for another public comment. I just want to highlight this as my observation. I do want to make a comment about the contents of the SLA as well, but I don't know if it's better to defer it to another opportunity. Or may I continue, Oscar? May I continue to make... Okay. I'm also pleased to share the CRISP team observation that the latest version, version 4 of the SLA, is consistent with the number community proposal. Again, this means that this is consistent with the ICG proposal. So this is actually reflecting the consensus that we've gone through in each of the RIR regions as the global number resources community, the three operational communities, and this has also gone through the public comments that the ICG has put up to. So I think it carries quite a lot of weight. So based on this, I would like to confirm that any changes that would cause inconsistencies with the ICG proposal is not a negotiation point. So I observe that in some of the interaction between ICANN and RIR, some changes has been suggested which would cause inconsistencies with the ICG proposal, which has been a concern from the CRISP team perspective. So I would like to confirm that we all share, both ICANN and RIR share an understanding that any changes that leads to inconsistency with the ICG proposal is not a negotiation point. We don't want to open this up for negotiation.
Thank you, Sumi. Anyone from the ICANN board or what? John?
Given the proposed timelines, or at least what's been suggested, the numbers community, when it came to the ICG proposal, we hit the deadline of January 15th, 2015, more than a year ago. We understand the names community accountability provisions as specified by the CWG required ICANN bylaws changes. And that's why we launched the cross-community working group for ICANN accountability and went through the process we just went through. In retrospect, maybe the names community made a mistake, because the measures we need for accountability, which we've specified more than a year ago, are in the SLA, and it doesn't appear as though they're a priority for the ICANN board to actually get accomplished, but the bylaws are. Maybe we should have done that approach rather than use a more typical contract approach.
If I can just respond, unless Steve wants to respond on that one. Yeah. No, it does have pretty much the same priority, John. So we've formed a subcommittee of the board to actually make sure that agreement is concluded. So we have Ron, for example, and I think at least three other board members. Ron can probably give you an update on that. So we have formed a group. So we're working on all these things in parallel, basically. My expectation is that the agreement that you refer to, the actual terms of that agreement should be completed, you know, within a week or so, hopefully this week. What I'm talking about is the actual signing of that agreement as opposed to agreeing the terms. And the signing of the agreement is likely to happen after the NTIA has released their report in mid-June, if that helps.
For clarity, would that be after these bylaw changes are adopted and in effect?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
You have a potential race condition if anything in the accountability changes for those bylaws could delay the SLA signing. For example, an IRP against the board signing the SLA. So we just need to be remarkably careful. The difference between a committed SLA that has condition precedent language, which we've proposed, so it's agreed but doesn't take effect until you're released, is that the terms are agreed and it's already a committed act. Signing that after the accountability provisions, depending on the exact language of the bylaws, we know what we've put in the CWG proposal. Now we have to see what comes out through the bylaws drafting. And it would be bad if we end up with a situation where we actually can't complete this on time because we've put things in the wrong order.
Yeah, so I agree, it would be bad, and I think we'll work collectively on trying to avoid that occurring. But I think the approach here is that this bylaws drafting process, the direction that we've given to the drafters is that it needs to match both the CWG and CCWG reports. So, and also the direction to staff with respect to the RIR agreement is it needs to match the CRISP proposal. So I think our message is those are the requirements documents, and these agreements and bylaws need to meet those requirements documents, and that we're trying to make sure that we've got groups on both the board side and the community side that can help review that, and then the public can then review that as well.
Just to add to address the question from John, the bylaws will be approved, but they will not take effect until after the transition occurs. So all the changes to the bylaws will not take effect until the transition occurs. So that hopefully addresses your IRP question. Thank you.
Paul Wilson here. I think we've emphasised quite a few times. I hope we don't have to keep emphasising that the SLA is our accountability system. It goes with this, the CCWG report as part of the overall revision and approval of revision and improvement of ICANN's accountability. So I wonder, without seeing, Bruce, the series of specific steps that you spoke about before, it's a little difficult to discuss this very accurately, but can we see the SLA as being implemented, approved, and executed or committed in lockstep with the upgrade to the bylaws, and not as some parallel activity that may have its own series of asynchronous steps? I mean, if we can see the SLA as being, as I say, in lockstep with the rest of the accountability improvements and see that laid out specifically on a timeline, I think that would really help us to understand where we're heading.
Yes, so I think I'd take that as an action that we'll work with staff on that. But yes, we'll incorporate that specific agreement as part of that timeline so it's clear. And lockstep's probably the right terminology to use. So we'll incorporated that timeline so it's clear it's part of the accountability process?
I'm persuaded that there are some contingencies of the kind that you laid out, John, where things could go awry, but I think most of those have actually been anticipated and are not going to come up. But I do take the point that the picture is not clear enough and the communication is somewhat limited. So one takeaway that I have from this conversation is that analysis and watchfulness over the entire process from the perspective of satisfying the numbers community is in order, and that we should make sure that that's put in place in some fashion. And I think that's a quite obvious thing that we ought to do so that if there's any reason for discomfort, it's for a known reason rather than just for unknown reasons.
So I think I fully support the two points made about locking in the SLA development with the bylaw drafting, but also as a safeguard for you, the board will not accept or adopt the bylaws drafting until a full public comment period takes place and the comments being considered. So you'll be able to see during the public comment period whether the bylaw drafting matches and are locked in with your SLA as well as the steps that we will take. So I think there's plenty of safeguard in the process to make sure that this this diversion doesn't take place.
Thank you. I think that what Steve proposes is pretty much what we want to get from this. We want to watch exactly the periods and the risks associated with this, because we also have the risk to fail to have a provider for these services if there's some IRP filled before the 30th of September and the contract with NTIA expires, because the 1st of October we don't have that service anymore. So that's another operational risk here, not only about the transition, but also about the operational part as well. So, well, I don't know if someone would like to address any other issues related to the transition. Alan, then Izumi.
Thanks. This is Alan Barrett. We've talked a lot about the timing of the SLA, and I think we've made a lot of good progress there. We've come to a better understanding. I'd like to speak a little about the process of agreeing on the wording or the terms of the SLA. One of the difficulties that we've had is that we seem to be dealing with different groups of lawyers on the ICANN side in different iterations, and sometimes it appears that the legal team who've commented or made wording changes on one version have perhaps not fully considered the previous iterations. So I think one of the things which could be done to help this would be to identify a person on the ICANN side who has the business responsibility to negotiate the SLA. Somebody that we could talk to on the business side and know who it is, and it would be a stable contact, and that person would in turn, I suppose, take responsibility for instructing the ICANN lawyers. And we don't know who that person is right now.
I understand there's a meeting later today with Akram.